Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. This is the Impact Wrestling edition of the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. And as always, we're part of the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. Always good to be here with you to go over everything that went down this week in Impact Wrestling. And love doing it. Glad you could join me again this week. And we got a couple things to talk about. Some news. I'm going to go over the show. We had the first show of the new era this week, the Don Callis Scott D'Amore era, and so that those tapings took place this week, and we're going to go over those. Got some news to go over as well, some departures, some new talent coming in. So we got a couple of things to talk about. But before I start, I promised I would do this, so I'm just going to go ahead and start off by saying by making a quick plug. There's a guy out there who does a great job. I would say he's an Impact Wrestling warrior. He'll always defending Impact Wrestling. His podcasts are fantastic. His name is BQ, and he has the Impact Lounge. So I would definitely check them out. You're an Impact Wrestling fan, I would go ahead and check out the Impact Lounge. It's on Twitter at BQ Speaks. You could check him out on Twitter and YouTube. You could go to YouTube, of course, youtube.com/TheImpactLounge. BQ does a great job week in and week out talking about Impact Wrestling in a positive light. And like I said, he's an Impact Wrestling warrior. Does a great job. Definitely need to check him out. Great, great guy. I've spoke to him a number of times. Go ahead, check him out. BQ Speaks, at BQ Speaks on Twitter and YouTube.com, The Impact Lounge. Lots of great stuff there on Impact Wrestling. If you're an Impact Wrestling fan, go ahead, check him out. Check him out. Of course, you know, don't check him out just yet. Wait till my podcast ends, and then you can go check him out, okay? Or you can go check him out, but you come back and listen to the rest of my podcast. All joking aside, go ahead, check him out. He does a great job for Impact Wrestling. He's been doing it for a while. And, again, like I said, good guy. Good guy, BQ. But anyway, go ahead, check it out. BQ Speaks and youtube.com/TheImpactLounge. So go ahead, check them out. All right, so let's get on with some news this week in Impact Wrestling. The biggest thing this week that before I get into any news in Impact Wrestling, I can't remember if I spoke about my blood test on the Impact show or the Ring of Honor show last week. But anyway, but I'm going to talk about it now. I went in for some blood work last week. I spoke about, and I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. But I saw the doctor, completely reversible. I'm on a vegan diet right now. I'm going to take care of myself. But I was talking about the blood test last week. Last week when I went to see the blood lab, and the nurse there, she tried to get blood out of my right arm. She couldn't get it. She couldn't get the blood out of my right arm, and she got it out of my left arm. But I told that story last week. But in my right arm, where she tried to get the blood, and she was able to get it, there's like a gigantic black and blue mark right now. So she really screwed up there. She probably just went right through the vein. And the blood is just, causing this huge black and blue on my arm. So that lady definitely needs to go back into training or something, because she kind of screwed my arm up. I got this black and blue circle right on my arm, and it's subsiding a little bit. It's not as bad as it was, but she wasn't able to get the blood because she totally missed the vein. She probably went right through the vein. And which caused this black and blue. But I just wanted to point that out. Again, if you want to hear that story, just listen to either the Impact or the Ring of Honor NXT podcast last week, how she was trying to get blood out of my right arm, but she couldn't get it. She had to go to my left arm. But anyway, we're not going to talk about my blood this week. We're going to talk about Impact Wrestling. So as I said, we have some news to go over. The biggest thing that shocked me this week was Jeremy Borash. You know, Jeremy Borash signs with WWE. That just came out of nowhere. Just wasn't expecting it at all. I mean, you know, with EC3 and Bobby Lashley, it was expected. They were expected to leave. You knew they were leaving. It was reported that once the contracts are up, they're going to leave or they're going to be asking for their release. Same thing with Laurel Van Ness. She was rumored that she was asking for her release. So you knew that was coming. But this kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this at all. And people are saying it's a big blow. It's a big blow to Impact Wrestling. Here's my take on it. You know, WWE got themselves a good announcer, and apparently he's going to be working now for NXT. So Jeremy Borash has signed on. He's going to be with NXT. Just be interesting to see if him and Mauro Ranallo together, that should be an interesting combination there. But anyway, so he's WWE, and like I said, everyone is saying it's a huge blow, and all the trolls are out saying, oh, who's left? The end of, I can't believe Jeremy Borash is gone. And he did all this great stuff behind the scenes. And what's Impact going to do? And blah, blah, blah. The end of Impact. Oh, they're imploding. And Impact should be done in a few months. You know, and about a year and a half ago, people were saying, oh, Impact has about 2 months to go, and they're still going strong. But my take on it is this. Well, everyone is like all up in arms about Jeremy Borash leaving, and he's at all these great things behind the scenes. Think of it this way. Say you work for Compaq. Say you work, you're in the computer business, and you're a computer technician at Compaq Computers. You know, you've been there for, well, I don't know, 16, 17 years. You do a good job, you know, and you feel comfortable there. But then Apple comes along. And they kind of recognize your talents, and they'd say, you know what, you do a good job for Compaq. We'd like you to come over to Apple and work for us. What do you think about that? We'll give you more money. You know, we'll give you job security. What do you think about that? Do you want to come? You want to leave Compaq and come on over to the biggest computer company in the world, in Apple? You're gonna go there in a second. you're gonna write that resignation up for Compaq so fast, and you're gonna go over and try your luck with Apple, because you know you've been at Compaq for 16-17 years. You know, it's time for a change. Apple wants you, and you're gonna go. That's the same thing that happened here, in my opinion. Jeremy Borash, 16 years at Impact. He's done all he could. WWE comes knocking, they're interested. Of course he's gonna go. Of course he's gonna, you know, jump at that opportunity. I mean, it's expected. Of course he was. Don't need to get all upset that, oh, Jeremy Borash, oh, look at that, now he's leaving. You know, of course he's going to leave. Of course he's going to take that opportunity. Anybody would. You know, and as for the stuff behind the scenes, give me a break. Yeah, he might do a good job behind the scenes, but is Jeremy Borash the only human being on the face of the earth that can do great work behind the scenes? You know, it just gives an opportunity for someone else to step up and take his place. Yeah, he is announcing with Josh Matthews, you know, for Impact. They're like, oh, what are they going to do? They just lost their announcer. They'll get another announcer. They'll hire somebody else. It's not that big of a deal, in my opinion. Yeah, sad to see Jeremy Borash go. He's, like I said, you know, did a great job with Impact Wrestling. I appreciate all he's done. Yeah, but it's time for him to move on. Good luck in WWE. And it's time for someone else now to step up and take his spot on the mic and behind the scenes. And that's all. That's the whole thing. That's the whole situation as I see it. Okay? It's not really that huge of a deal, in my opinion, that Jeremy Borash has left. Nobody is irreplaceable. You know, nobody. EC3, Bobby Lashley, Laurel Van Ness, they left, and everyone is like, oh, what are they going to do? Austin Aries, Brian Cage, Kiera Hogan. That's what they've done. Okay, so they've replaced the talent they lost. So it's the same situation here with Jeremy Borash. They'll find someone to take his place, and they'll be fine. Like I said, it's going to give people an opportunity to step up and do just as good a job, if not a better job, than what Jeremy Borash was doing behind the scenes and in front of the mic. Oh, behind the mic, I should say. You know, in front of the camera, behind the mic. There you go. All right, so that's my take on Jeremy Borash. And I read this today, actually. House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer. I'm not sure if it's a if they're now a partner promotion with Impact Wrestling, or if they have their own television deal now with the Fight Network and Pop TV. But I saw there was a tweet today that kind of indicated that, you know, something's going on with House of Hardcore and Impact Wrestling, and, you know, whatever it is, if it's a partner promotion, if House of Hardcore is now on Pop TV and the Fight Network, you know, I say, you know, I'm all for it. You know, House of Hardcore is really picking up steam. They're on Twitch TV as well now. They have a program. So if they're working with Impact Wrestling, it's only beneficial to both promotions, in my opinion. And House of Hardcore, they have some great talent. I don't know if they actually have talent that's signed exclusively to House of Hardcore, but they do bring in good fresh talent. So I think it's a good opportunity for both promotions to work together. And I applaud the partnering of House of Hardcore and Impact Wrestling, and I look forward to seeing what it brings. I just hope it doesn't bring a House of Hardcore invasion angle or something like that, because they have done invasion angles way too much. We've seen too many invasion angles, and I hope they don't work a House of Hardcore invasion angle of Impact Wrestling or vice versa. But we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on that collaboration between House of Hardcore and Impact Wrestling. Now, Don Callis said something very interesting. I'm just going to pull it up here. Something that I completely agree with. He was quoted in saying, and I tweeted this earlier today. This is from Don Callis. I think people spend a lot of time focusing on the people who leave Impact, but they don't acknowledge that there are new people who have come in, such as Austin Aries, Brian Cage. He has alluded to EC3 and Bobby Lashley left, but, you know, we got Austin Aries and Brian Cage in now. You know, and I couldn't agree with that more, and I touched upon that briefly a few moments ago. I couldn't agree with that more. And I've been saying that over and over again. You know, people concentrate on who's leaving, you know, and perfect example is people like when EC3 and Bobby Lashley left, and Laurel Van Ness, and you got people saying, "Oh, EC3, Bobby Lashley, Laurel Van Ness have left." You know, what talent is left in TNA? Right, that's what people were tweeting. You know, and when they tweet TNA, that is just gives me the indication that they don't even watch the show, because it's not TNA anymore. I mean, JP Sims. I interviewed JP Sims, and it's a really good friend of mine. Really good friend of mine, JP Sims, and he was on the show. I was interviewing him last week, and we were talking about Impact Wrestling, and he called it TNA. He called it TNA once. I let it go. He called it TNA twice. I let it go. He called it TNA a third time in the course of the interview, and I had to correct him. And I told him it's not TNA anymore, it's Impact Wrestling. So that's what it's called. So if you're still calling it TNA, you're not even watching the product. So you really shouldn't form an opinion on a product that you're not watching, in my opinion. In anybody's opinion. If you're not watching the product, don't say, oh, it's the end of TNA, or it's the end of, you should be calling it Impact Wrestling. Don't say it's the end of TNA or Impact Wrestling because some talent has left, even though they have replaced that talent with extraordinary talents as well. So, I mean, if you want to watch it for 6 or 7 months and then form an opinion, that's fine. But don't say, oh, who's left at TNA? And I'm just quoting the tweets. I'm not calling it TNA. I know it's not called TNA. But don't. Or the Facebook post, I should say, not just tweets. But don't form an opinion. Bottom line, don't form an opinion without watching the product. And if you don't know who's left at Impact Wrestling, you know, stop typing on the freaking computer and turn on the TV and watch an episode of Impact Wrestling, and you'll see who's still there at Impact Wrestling. And that's all I'm going to say about that right there. So I guess that's a great quote by Don Callis, and I agree with him 1,000% on that one. We have a new team. We have a new faction, actually, some new talent. Speaking of new talent coming into Impact Wrestling, and of course, nobody's talking about this, you know, because everyone is all concentrating on who's leaving. Speaking of new talent, we have And I'm going to pull it up here. We have a new faction coming in. They'll be debuting in the near future, called the Desi Hit Squad. And let me just pull up the information. First of all, it's going to be headed by Gama Singh, who is a legendary wrestler from India. And it's going to be... I'm just going to pull it up here. I have all the names. Just give me 1 second. Desi Hit Squad. I've pull it up here. Two of the people in the Desi Hit Squad I have interviewed in the past. I just want to pull up all their names here. Give me 1 second. Desi Hit Squad. Okay, you know what? Give me 1 second. I'm just going to pull up on the website here. Okay, so the Desi Hit Squad. Sorry, I had to pull it up here on the website. So I just want to make sure I get all the names right. So as I said, it's going to be headed by Gama Singh, who's a legendary wrestler from India, and it's going to be a four member team. It's going to be Rohit Raju, who formerly known as Hakeem Zayn. It's going to be Vikas Kumar, another wrestler from India. Gursinger Singh, formerly known as Tony Cage. You remember Hakeem Zayn as the winner of Global Forged. And Tony Cage was also a contestant on Global Forged. He'll now be going as Gursinger Singh. And also there'll be Bhupinder Singh as well. So those are the four that are going to be making up this faction, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know Hakeem Zayn is extremely talented. Tony Cage is also very, very talented as well. Vikas Kumar, we saw him when they were in Impact was filming in taping the shows in Mumbai, India. He actually took on Davey Richards in a decent match. It wasn't a 5-star classic by any means, but it was a decent match. So he competed against Davey Richards during those Impact tapings, and Bhupinder Singh as well will be part of that faction. Got this this fresh new talent coming, something to really look forward to, but no one's really talking about it because they're not quote unquote big names. But I, for one, am looking forward to this faction. As I pointed out, I have interviewed actually two of the members of the Desi Hit Squad. Actually, before there was any indication of the Desi Hit Squad. So if you go to tappedoutwrestlingpodcast.com, you could check out my interviews with Hakeem Zayn and Tony Cage, a.k.a. Gursinder Singh. And Hakeem Zayn, a.k.a. Rohit Raju. So again, the interviews were done before we knew about Desi Hit Squad, so we don't really talk about Desi Hit Squad. But I did conduct the interviews, and go ahead, check them out, tappedoutwrestlingpodcast.com. So they have it, new talents, a new team coming to Impact Wrestling. I was looking for some updates on Rey Mysterio and Jeff Cobb as well. I know they're rumored to be signing with Impact, and I know Rey Mysterio made an appearance at the Royal Rumble, but that was apparently just a one-off appearance, so Rey Mysterio to Impact Wrestling is not dead quite yet. I still think he's going to sign with Impact Wrestling. We're going to see him at Impact Wrestling fairly soon. And Jeff Cobb, I haven't heard any updates. Hopefully he will get his act together and sign with Impact Wrestling as well. All right, so that's the news, and nothing left to do but to start talking about the show this week, which was the first show of the new era, of the Scott D'Amore, Don Callis era, and taped in Orlando. They're back in Orlando taping. I, for one, think it might have been a mistake to go back to Orlando. They should have maybe, you know, went on location, stayed in Canada, maybe come to Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, maybe Montreal, but no, they're back in Orlando, Florida, which is fine. Nothing bad about that. So we see the four-sided ring. The four-sided ring is back, and they've gotten rid of the green ropes. Now blue ropes to indicate those are colors of Impact Wrestling. 4-sided ring, 6-sided ring, to me it makes no difference. Ring is a ring. I think the action is going to be primarily the same. I'm old school. I mean, if you were to ask me, if I was running the show and you were to ask me 4-sided or 6-sided, I'd probably go 4-sided because I'm old school. So either way, I'm... doesn't matter to me what, how many sides in the ring are, as long as the talent is producing, which they are for Impact Wrestling. We found out that match today, main event, well, not the main, well, the main event, I guess you could call it, Alberto El Patron and EC3. Taking on Moose and Johnny Impact. There's going to be an Eli Drake, Chris Adonis in ring celebration as well. And then from there we see a mystery man walking towards the Impact Zone, and Jeremy Barash is like, who is that? Who is that walking towards the Impact Zone? You know, and they would just see him like from the, kind of from like the chest down, you don't see the face, and like, who is that man? Like, who's walking towards the Impact Zone? You know, it's funny how, you know, Impact Wrestling themselves, you know, kind of gave away the spoiler a few weeks ago that it's Austin Aries and Austin Aries wins the new title, yet they still seemed that fit to kind of do it this way by making it seem like nobody knew who it was walking out of the, I think it came out of a limo or a car and is walking towards the Impact Zone. So I just to film it that way, I think they could have done it maybe they didn't have to show, you know, anybody walking to the arena and pretending they didn't know who it was when, you know, it was all over Impact Wrestling a few weeks ago that Austin Aries is back. You know, everyone knew it was Austin Aries. Anyone who's been following the web, goes on the website or follows them on Twitter knew it was Austin Aries. So there's really no surprise there on who it was and what could this man want. And so I thought, you know, they could have done that maybe a little better. We didn't even have, again, like I said, they didn't have to show him walking. You know, we knew he was going to be there. We knew he's already on the advertisements for WrestleCon which was released prior to the release of this show. So they could have just... they could have left these little segments out, but they went with it. That's fine. So then from there we got a recap of last week's matches and got a nice little video package as well from last week. So they did a good job with the video packages, the recap of last week. And then we go right into match one, which is for the grand title, the new grand title champion, Matt Sydal, taking on challenger Falaba. And new champion comes, new rules, and these are now regular matches for the grand title. It's something I've been calling since the start of the grand title, since the beginning of the grand championship. I've been calling for these types of matches to be regular matches, and I'm glad they are. And I'm glad they moved it. They moved away from the judges. They moved away from the rounds. So I like that they went to the regular matches. But then Matt Sydal comes on and he says, you know, he has a special spiritual advisor, and then he becomes like this little hippie yoga dude. He says his catchphrase, and then he finishes it with by saying namaste, and he closes his eyes. So I don't know what's going on. Is he like almost like he's turning heel or something? And he was kind of heelish during the match as well with Falaba. So I don't know what's happening with Matt Sydal. But anyway, the match itself, I thought it was a solid opening match between the two. Falaba is a crowd pleaser. You know, Falaba, he gets the crowd going with the no. That's great stuff. The crowd loves it when he starts hitting his head and saying ba ba ba. The crowd loves it. He's a definite crowd pleaser. The crowd likes Falaba. The only thing that it's a shame, though, I should say. It's a shame that Falaba has never won a match in Impact Wrestling. No, he's never won a match. You know, here they have a great talent. You know, the fans are behind him, and he's never won a match in Impact Wrestling. If I'm wrong, please, somebody send me the match, but he's never won a match, whether it be a tag team match, or a singles match. He's never won a match. But the crowds get behind him, and I think he's a tremendous talent. There's a great spot where... Sydal went for a dive off the top rope, and And Ba catches him and turns it into a Samoan drop. And Fala Ba does the steamroll, which is another crowd pleaser as well. So it was a good opening match between the two. Of course, Seidel wins with his shooting star press, and he retains the title. But so I'm on the Fala Ba bandwagon. They have themselves a wrestler with star qualities there, and they need to tune in on that, and they need to start giving him some meaningful wins, because he hasn't won a match, as I said, since he started with Impact Wrestling. But yeah, the fans are behind. I'm behind him. I'm a fan of Fala Ba. Yeah, so there you go. But Matt Sydal, as I said, retains the title, and it's interesting to see where they're going to go with the spiritual advisor. Not sure where they're going with it, but we'll see. We'll see in the upcoming weeks where the spiritual advisor is going to be. But again, solid opening match to start the show, and the regular match rules are so much better. Are so much better than the judges and the rounds, in my opinion. Then, okay, from there we go to Eli Drake and Chris Adonis. We see them arriving at the Impact Zone. Then Bobby Lashley, KM, Dan Lambert video recap from last week. Where Bobby Lashley spears KM, and he spears Lambert through the table. We see Bobby Lashley and Moose shake hands, and they are suddenly buddy-buddy. And then we go to a Trevor Lee, Caleb, Conley. They cut a promo in the back. Trevor Lee mentions that he's always five steps ahead of everybody who's five steps behind him, something along that nature. And he's got big plans, not for him, but for him and Caleb Conley. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires with these two. This is not the last we've seen of Caleb Conley and Trevor Lee on the show, and we'll get into that shortly when we get to it. But they're wearing these Hawaiian shirts. I don't know if they're going for a different different persona, but they wear these Hawaiian shirts. It just looked a little strange. I gotta go on a Trevor Lee rant again. You know, they have such a tremendous talent in Trevor Lee. You know, Trevor Lee, like I said, he is this generation's AJ Styles for Impact Wrestling. Or he can be if they allow him to be, but he's kind of this goofball character instead. You know, so tremendous, tremendous wrestler. One of the best young wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. If he was in New Japan, Ring of Honor, NXT, he would freaking thrive there. Yeah, but he's like a goofball. They make him seem like a goofball, you know, and that's his persona here. And it's irritating. It's irritating. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens here with Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley. Maybe they're forming a tag team. I shouldn't say maybe. I know they are, because it was evident later on in the show. We're going to get to that. So we'll get back to Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley. I just want to go on a little rant there on Trevor Lee, because it's so irritating, you know, that he should be the X Division champion, and he should be an unbeatable X Division champion, in my opinion. And they you know what? I've gone into so many Trevor Lee rants. Sometimes I just feel like I'm wasting my breath. But anyway, we'll move on now. Let's move on to match two in the program. And match two was Bobby Lashley taking on KM and No American Top Team. Apparently that angle's over, thank goodness. So it's just Bobby Lashley versus KM. And I'll tell you, this was a very, very good big man match. I thought it was going to be a squash. I thought we were going to see a Bobby Lashley squash over KM. But it was very, very competitive. And I'm going to use the word solid. Another solid, solid match. KM got in a lot of offense here. Before I go further, I just want to say I'm getting over. I had a touch of the flu. So I got a bit of a sore throat. So if my throat sounds a little scratchy, I apologize. I'm probably going to be clearing my throat a lot, and I know that could annoy people, but I do apologize. But just getting over this, I had the flu. I was out of work for a few days, And I'm just getting over this flu-like condition. So I apologize for the scratchy throat. But anyway, it's back to the match. It was a very, very good big man match. Like I said, I'm glad it wasn't a squash match. KM is a great heel. He could be a top heel. He could be a major, major player in Impact Wrestling if they play their cards right. They definitely have a top heel in KM, in my opinion. And he did a dive to the outside. He somersaulted over the top rope onto Bobby Lashley, which was impressive. It wasn't an AJ Styles dive or anything of that nature, but it was a big man dive. It was impressive for a big man dive. Great back and forth action between the two. I would have liked KM to steal a victory here over Bobby Lashley, with Lashley leaving and everything, to kind of build up KM a little bit. But Bobby Lashley does win the match in the end with a spear. He tried his first attempt at a spear. He ate a knee from KM, and KM hit a big move. And I thought KM was going to get the win, but Lashley kicked out at the last moment and eventually hit the spear and gets the win. But I'll tell you, KM could definitely be a main event player. He could definitely be one of your top heels now that he could definitely fill in the role that... was left behind by EC3 or Bobby Lashley. Definitely, I say Impact, give him an opportunity. Give him an opportunity to be that top heel of the company. And then from there, we got Joseph Park on the phone with, I guess, I forget, he's talking to some, what was his aunt or something. The Congo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs, they come up, and no Chandler Park. I guess they didn't bring Ethan Page along for these tapings. So Joseph Park's explaining on the phone that he told Chandler Park Congo Kong was going to be tough. But then Jimmy Jacobs and Congo Kong comes up, and Jimmy Jacobs basically said he wants Abyss, and basically I think he said he wants him next week, that he's a princess and he always gets what he wants. Okay, yeah, Jimmy Jacobs is a princess, and he always gets what he wants. I really could have done without this segment, we'll see how this goes. Where I know we're definitely getting Abyss against Congo Kong at some point, which should be interesting. I tell you, I'd love to see Falabon Congo Kong. That would be tremendous. They should build up to that after this one. Get a three-way dance. Falaba against Congo Kong against Abyss. Could be a huge big man match. But anyway, but we are getting Abyss against Congo Kong because Jimmy Jacobs is a princess and he always gets what he wants. Okay, Jimmy Jacobs. Alright, so what do we got from there? Then we go to match three. We get the debut. They spoke with Bobby Lashley prior to the match. They spoke with Bobby Lashley, and he said everyone wanted him to make a decision on whether he's going to go to pro wrestling or MMA. So he said he's going to go to pro wrestling. He's going to remain in pro wrestling, but he's also going to stay in MMA. And Bobby Lashley says that he can do what he wants. And what does he want? He wants to go to the WWE, so he's going to do what he wants. So Bobby Lashley says, like I said, he says, I'm going to do what I want, and he walks away. And Bobby Lashley is signed with the WWE, so he's doing what he wants. He wants to work for the WWE. That was my my take on that. But anyway, after that, we got match three. If anybody's listening right now, I'll tweet this. I'll tweet it. Never mind. I was going to go into a little something, but I'll tweet it out. Look at my tweets. I have a request. I have a request, and the request is I'm looking for Impact Wrestling podcast guest co-hosts. I'll tweet about it. I'll tweet all the information out. So just watch for those tweets. Match three is the debuting Kiera Hogan taking on Laurel Van Ness, the Knockouts champion, in a non-title match. Now, Kiera Hogan, very, very talented young lady. You could ask the boys at the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. They do the weekly news. You know, you got Myron and you got Nick, and they're big fans of Kiera Hogan. They know her a lot better than I do, and they assure me that she's extremely talented. You know, and I believe them. I believe them, and I've watched a few matches, and yes, she's very, very talented. Very talented. Terrific, terrific addition to the Impact Knockouts roster. The only problem is, you know, they talked about on Twitter about the debuting Kiera Hogan, and they touched upon it a little bit on the show that Kiera Hogan is making her debut. But I guess they didn't think she was that important enough to give her her own introduction. She was already in the ring when they announced Laura Van Ness. So Laura Van Ness comes to the ring. Kiera Hogan's already in the ring. They should have given her an introduction, but they didn't. Again, this non-title match. The title's not on the line. So it was a good match. It was a good. I thought we were headed towards a couple, bit of a squash match, but Kiera Hogan got some really good offense in. She looked really good. She has a great look about her. And she did really well. It was a good debut. But Laurel Vanessa was dominating. She was about to hit her finisher, but Allie showed up and distracted Laurel Vanessa, which allowed Kiera Hogan to roll up Laurel Vanessa and steal a victory. Steal a victory over Laurel Vanessa. She goes out. Then we hear some music for Kiera Hogan. And then it was like a big deal. Oh, Kiera Hogan scores a surprise non-title victory over Laurel Vanessa. And she's hugging with Allie, and everyone's jumping up and down. And, you know, here's my problem with this. Here's my problem with it. My problem. Yeah, okay, Kiera, you got Kiera Hogan. Good talent. But did you have to debut her this way? First of all, there's no reason why you couldn't have, you know, you could not have shown her introduction and walk into the ring and give her a real introduction. There's no reason why you couldn't have done that, since you were, you know, hyping her on Twitter and you were hyping her a little bit on the show. But did you have to have her debut this way? Yeah, she got the win of Laura Van Ness. But this is new talent. You know, this is new talent that you want to debut. Couldn't they do a few weeks of her, you know, getting wins over enhancement talent, showcasing her skills, showcasing what she could do? You know, then maybe 4 or 5 weeks down the road, then maybe get a non-title match against whoever the champion is at the time, then score a victory, and then get a title shot the following week. I think that would have been a little better. Instead of just rushing her into this, oh, she beat Laura Van Ness, now next week she's getting a title shot. You know, she gets a title shot next week because she scored this non-title victory over Laura Van Ness. It's just rushing into it. You know, it would have been better. They gave us just 4 or 5 weeks of Kiera Hogan, and I'll just showcase her skills, showcase the new knockout that they have, and then, you know, thrust her into the title picture. That's my opinion. That's something they should have done. But nonetheless, she gets the big win here over Laurel Van Ness, who's on her way out anyway. So next week, Laurel Van Ness puts a title on the line against Kiera Hogan. I don't know. I haven't seen any spoilers on that. Don't know if Hogan's actually going to, you know, take the title next week. It'll be interesting to see. So we'll see how it goes. Now, I'm assuming it's going to be a much better match than we saw this week. I'm sure Kiera Hogan will get in a lot more offense. So next week, yep, Laurel Van Ness defends the knockout title against Kiera Hogan. So looking forward to that title match next week. Then we see, again, we see the quote-unquote mystery man walking, and Barash is up in arms like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And what does he want? So we see Austin Aries walking, and we all know it's Austin Aries. But then they go backstage. Who is this guy? Who is this guy who's walking and we don't see his face? Who can it be? Who can it be? You know, it's only been shown. It's only been shown on Impact Wrestling, the website and Twitter, you know, for a few weeks now. But who can it be? But anyway, Alberto El Patron and EC3, they cut a backstage promo on their match with Moose and Johnny Impact. Then from there, LAX comes to the ring, Conan, Santana, Ortiz, and Homicide. No Diamante, and I did find out actually from BQ, again, Twitter, @BQ Speaks, that Diamante is actually... no longer on the I think she was moved to the alumni section of the Impact Wrestling website, so maybe she's gone as well. Actually, you know what? I left out a huge thing. I apologize. There is some news, and I left out three minor stars that are no longer with Impact Wrestling. I apologize. I should have went over this in the beginning. So I'll just say it real quick, and then we'll get into the... I'm looking at my index card here. I completely missed it. I'm sorry. So actually, three minor stars are no longer with Impact Wrestling. Maybe you can even see four. I said Diamante, Ava Storey, Idris Abraham, and Mario Baccara are no longer with Impact Wrestling. I apologize, everybody. That should have been said early on. Ava Storey was okay. Mario Baccara was tag team partner of Falaba. They never won a tag team match, but I know he's had some major surgery, I believe, on his knee, so he's going to be out for a while. Idris Abraham, that's the only one that might be a little upset at, because he's freaking talented, Idris Abraham. I've seen him in Smash Wrestling, and he's part of a tag team called Halal Beefcake with Joe Coleman in Smash Wrestling, and they're a great freaking tag team. They're a great tag team, and Lord knows Impact Wrestling needs more tag teams. But I don't want to go into it too much because I've already started talking about the show. So Ava Storey, Idris Abraham, Mario Baccara, Diamante, all apparently gone with Impact Wrestling. Not a major blow. Again, Idris Abraham, I think, was a mistake. They should have kept him. They should bring him Joe Coleman, bring in Hollow Beefcake. They might even do that in the near future. So let's move on. So LAX, as I said, came to the ring. Conan, Santana, Ortiz, and Homicide. Conan cuts a promo. OVE comes to the ring. Sami Callihan cuts a promo. And they face off, and it looks like they're going to go at it again. Sami Callihan says he respects LAX, but he still hates them. And Sami Callihan said that basically they're going to have to put the feud on hold because they have bigger fish to fry. But they're coming eventually for the tag team titles. As they're leaving, Conan comes out and says, you know, we're bigger fish to fry. you're looking at the whole tuna, Poppy. Something like that. So, great line by Conan. And then Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley jump into the ring, and they attack Santana and Ortiz. They beat them down with kendo sticks, and I believe they took their flags as well until Conan and Homicide came into the ring for the save. So Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley now a tag team, and they'll be challenging, feuding with Ortiz and Santana for the tag team titles. The only thing is here is I really kind of wish they brought in two or three new tag teams instead of just looking at the roster and thinking, well, who can we put together as a tag team? Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley. And they put them together. If you watched Collision in Oklahoma, and I did my review for that last week. If you watched Collision in Oklahoma, there was a lot of tag teams on the Von Erichs. Were on there. There's a lot of tag teams on there that I think would be great in Impact Wrestling for the tag team division. So instead of looking to what they have and putting two people together, makes sense. You know, Caleb Conley, Trevor Lee, you know, they've been a team for some time now. But bring in more tag teams. Idris Abraham, Joe Coleman, Hollow Beefcake. They're a great team. Bring them in. You got those Von Erichs that they had on the Collision in Oklahoma. Bring them in. There are a few other tag teams. I can't remember offhand, but there were a number of tag teams on that show. I think that would be terrific for Impact Wrestling. They got to bolster their tag team division, without a doubt. It's good to see OVE and LAX. You know, the feud is temporarily over. I'm sure they're going to cross paths again soon. I'm glad they're going on to other feuds. So it's interesting to see who OVE is going to feud with. It looks like we're going to get Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley going after Ortiz and Santana's Impact Tag Team title. So there you have it. So then from there we go backstage. Moose and Impact. Johnny Impact. It was funny, Johnny Moose. See, he's changed his name so many times, even I'm getting confused. Johnny Moose. That would be a terrific name for him, actually, if they called him, if he is like Johnny Moose. He's like, Johnny Impact, I'm changing my name to Johnny Moose. But anyway, so it's funny because Moose actually almost called him Johnny Mundo, or he kind of joked around. He's like Johnny Impact. But they cut a promo on their upcoming match with EC3 and Alberto El Patron later on in the show. Then we get the Johnny Moose. That if I'm a wrestler, that's gonna be my. If I ever become a wrestler, that's gonna be my name. I'm gonna be Johnny Moose. Johnny Moose. Oh man! Then we got the Global Wrestling Network Moment of the Week. Even though the moment is supposed to be like a 30-second clip, but this moment once again lasted like almost 10 minutes. We got the street fight between Drew Galloway and EC3, which was a really good segment. But in my opinion, it was just free advertising for the WWE or NXT. So that's basically what they gave the fans is, hey, look at the competitors you're gonna see in NXT now, Drew Galloway and EC3. You know, watch how great they are. But if you want to see them, you got to turn on NXT, guys. So that's basically what they were giving the fans. They were giving free advertisement to NXT and showing this clip between Drew Galloway, who is Drew McIntyre in NXT, and EC3. They have a fight, blah, blah, blah. The fight is eventually broken up by a number of other wrestlers. Then we see Eli Drake and Chris Adonis. They're backstage. And they talk about the celebration, the upcoming celebration. Eli Drake is like, oh, I can't wait to see this guest, this surprise guest that you brought for me. And Chris Adonis is like, oh, what are you talking about? I didn't bring a surprise guest. Like, okay, well, whatever. But they talk about the celebration anyway. And from there, we get a Brian Cage teaser video, which was done really well. I'm really looking forward to seeing Brian Cage in Impact Wrestling. So here's another thing. Brian Cage, now in Impact Wrestling. No one's really talking about it. No one. I haven't seen any tweets. I haven't seen any posts on Facebook about, oh, Brian Cage, coming to Impact Wrestling. But EC3 decides to leave, and it's boom. Impact Wrestling's done. Impact Wrestling's over. But Brian Cage coming into Impact Wrestling, and I can't wait for that. He's going to be absolutely fantastic when he gets to Impact Wrestling. And then from there, we go to match 4, the main event, which is EC3, Alberto El Patron taking on Moose and Johnny Impact. The match started slow. The match started slow, but really picked up nicely. I really like this match a lot. The action became hot and heavy, really, really great back and forth action. Late in the match, Johnny Impact was being dominated by EC3 and Alberto El Patron. Tries desperately to make the hot tag. Finally, he makes the hot tag to Moose. Moose cleans house and he hits massive clotheslines. His hesitation drop kick. Actually, did he? I don't think he hit massive clotheslines. I think it was the end of the match where he hit the massive clothesline. But he hit the hesitation drop kicks, which are really fun to watch. It was a really, really fun match, and I like how they build it as an all-star tag team match with the talent involved. But again, as expected, great action throughout the match from all four. Moose, like I said, lands the huge clothesline on Alberto El Patron and gets the win for his team. It's good to see Moose get the win. Moose has been calling himself the face of Impact recently, and there's a good argument that he is the face of Impact now, that you don't need the belt to be the face of Impact, basically what he's saying. But he gets a big win here for his team on Alberto El Patron. Again, surprise EC3 didn't take the win, didn't take the loss with him leaving Impact Wrestling. I think Alberto El Patron might be leaving also, because I think I was reading that he apologized to Triple H, and he mentioned that he can't wait to get back to WWE. But anyway, nonetheless, Moose gets the big win for his team, and great match, fun match, crowd-pleasing match. Really liked it, and they did a great job. Of course, when you put these four together, of course you're going to get a terrific match all around, and that's exactly what we got. Okay, and then from there, it's time for Eli Drake and Chris Adonis head to the ring for their celebration. Chris Adonis presents the facts of Eli Drake's life, and he shows videos of Eli Drake's calling him the greatest champion of all time, the greatest dresser of all time, and he shows videos of him as champion, of him as a sharp dresser, and he calls Eli Drake the greatest friend of all time, and he has a video, but when they show the video, it's the wrong video. It's a video that Chris Adonis is wearing the turkey suit, he looks kind of stupid, and it's the wrong video, and Chris Adonis is getting upset, he's yelling, he's showing the wrong video, and then Eli Drake takes the mic and tells Adonis to calm the hell down, he didn't say calm the hell down, but basically that's what he was saying. Just calm down. And he said that you wore the hell out of that turkey suit. And then he cuts a little promo. And then he calls himself the greatest man that ever lived. Uh-oh. The music hits. And the mystery man is the real greatest man that ever lived, Austin Aries. And he comes down, and Jeremy Borash is like, oh, it's Austin Aries! Austin Aries is back! You know, we know. Everybody knew he was coming back. But Austin Aries is back. He walks to the ring. He gets into the ring. Crowd chanting, welcome back. And he's getting a nice reaction from the crowd, which was good to see. Didn't look like they were piped in either. It looked like the crowd was really really excited to see Austin Aries. They're chanting his name, they're chanting Austin Aries. He takes a mic and he says, you know, that Eli Drake is wrong. He's the greatest man that ever lived. Then, of course, the crowd is chanting his name then. Then Aries issues a challenge to Drake for the title. Drake says, not right now. He's about to leave the ring. But they had a good verbal exchange before that. But then Eli Drake's about to leave the ring. He says, "Not right now. I'm not going to give you a shot." And as he's leaving, Chris Adonis attacks Aries from behind. Then Drake says, "You know what? On second thought, yeah, let's get a ref down here." So the ref comes down. He covers Austin Aries, and he gets a two count. He kicks out, and then Austin Aries comes back, and he hits a brainbuster on Eli Drake, and the ref counts to three, and boom. We have a new Impact World Heavyweight Champion in Austin Aries. So Austin Aries is the new champion. It wasn't done as bad as I thought it was going to be done. When I first read about this a few weeks ago, I went on a tangent. I was upset. I was angry at the way they did it. You know, Eli Drake, I felt his title reign was a bit of a failure. And it wasn't Eli Drake's fault. I think it's just the way he was booked. Eli Drake could have been a tremendous champion if he was booked properly, in my opinion. But I'm not an expert. So just my opinion. It wasn't done so bad. I think it could have been done a little better is have Austin Aries challenge Drake to a match, and Drake say not now, and then kind of build the feud up a little bit, and then have a big payoff match in 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe have Aries get a victory over Adonis, trying to get proven himself, and then have a big payoff match where Austin Aries wins the title. But hey, it's a new era, dawn of a new era with Scott D'Amore and Don Callis, and this is the route that they decide to go with. And there's nothing wrong with Austin Aries being champion. Austin Aries is a tremendous talent, and it's great to see him back in Impact Wrestling. Let's see how it goes. Let's see what happens here. I was reading that he has a match upcoming with Johnny Impact, which is just about a 5-star match. So I'm looking forward to seeing that match between Austin Aries and Johnny Impact. Now, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm on the Austin Aries train. He's the champ. Let's see Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. Again, like I said, I went on a tangent a few weeks back on this, but wasn't done so horribly. I thought maybe they could have done it a little differently, as I just explained, but Austin Aries is the champion. Let's see how it goes. I have full faith in Don Callis and Scott D'Amore. Okay, they have my full faith. But anyway, and that's it. That was it. Austin Aries ringing in the new era as the new Impact Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion. And that was it until next week. And nothing else to talk about. Nothing else. I went through everything, and that's it. So I'm just going to have to say, you know, and it's kind of sad when I'm done because, you know, you get so into it and then, the podcast is over. But anyway, all good things must come to an end, but fear not, we'll be back next week. So until then, I just want to say thank you very much, everybody, for listening. I am Lewis Carlin. This is the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast, the Impact Wrestling Edition, and we're, of course, a part of the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. And until next week, thank you, bye-bye, and, of course, stay safe, everybody. So long.
Tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.